Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Culture Effect Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Today, we have a special guest with us here today. She's a Kentucky State University alum, Shelby Patrice. We're going to hear all about her HBCU experience, her life as an HBCU dancer, and now the owner of Budget University. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, everyone. Welcome, Ms. Shelby Patrice. And how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. I am good. And shout out, we just wanted to play a little bit. Every time we have a guest on, we just like to play a little bit of the HBCU experience, a little bit of the band and dance life, just to give people a little bit of that. So, yeah. So thank you for joining us here today. So let's go ahead and get right into it. So, you're a Kentucky State University alum. So before getting to Kentucky State, give us a little bit of your background information.
I am a Kentucky State University alum. I was born and raised in Miami, Florida. And I went to predominantly white and Hispanic elementary schools, middle schools, and high schools. I was a dancer since I was 3 years old. I was in dance, tap, ballet, jazz, hip hop, lyrical, modern. I danced in the church. I had a very strong background in dance. And then my mom went to Kentucky State University. My aunts went to Kentucky State University and my uncles went to K-State. So I really didn't have a choice. It was one of those things where it's like, you're going, continue the legacy, goodbye. And my mother was a K-Red as well. And I did it. And it was a very interesting experience.
So you come from pretty much a family of Kentucky State graduates. So it was like, was there ever any other, you know, discussion of any other HBCUs? Or was it like, no, you know, you're going to Kentucky State?
Oh, I could apply all I wanted to and pay the, at the time it was a $25 application fee. So I applied all I wanted to, but it wasn't, I really didn't have a choice.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about your experience. So, because you mentioned it was an interesting experience at Kentucky State. So let's kind of get into your experience on campus. What was that like for you?
It was a culture shock. I'm going to be so honest with you. I wanted to go home. The first semester, I wanted to go home. It was not, I was like, this ain't for me. Because like I said, it was a culture shock. I came from a white background. I was my parents are Black, but I grew up in the suburbs of Miami, Florida. So I went to a Hispanic high school, Felix Brella Senior High School. I was the first Black girl and the only Black girl to ever make my dance team. And the dance that I did was competition dance style, team performance, jazz, lyrical, hip hop, different kind of hip hop, a lot of jazz routines. We were winning states, regionals, nationals, going to NDA, and it was a different kind of vibe than an HBCU. So when I went to Kentucky State, it was a culture shock for me. I've never been around so many Black people ever in my life. I was called Oreo. I was, oh my God, you talk white. You're this, you're that. And I was just like, oh my goodness. Like I would call my mom every day crying. And the dance, you had to go to band camp beforehand. And when I went to band camp, I was just like, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Like we're still on this field. And it was just, I wasn't used to that, you know? So it was definitely, like I said, a culture shock. And I wasn't aware of certain things that everybody knew. For example, my roommate, love her to death, she was a Gucci Mane fan. I didn't know nothing about who was Gucci Mane. Who is that? I knew the designer, but there's a rapper. So she introduced me to a lot of cultured music, hip hop and stuff that I did not know. But the dance experience was totally different because I went from jazz to now dancing in a white boot that we're known for dancing.
So how did you, and I guess your roommate played a big part in that, but I want to ask you, like, because I'm sure it's a lot of people who even aspiring HBCU students or maybe some students on campus now going through the same thing. So how did you really get past that culture shock and really just fully get invested into the HBCU culture?
I accepted who I was as a person and my background and where I came from. And I standed on it. It took me a while because, you know, you want to fit in. I didn't know. I came from Miami. So in the wintertime, everybody had these UGG boots. I knew nothing about no UGG boots. So I had to accept the culture change. But at the same time, it could be a culture change, but Shelby's going to remain Shelby. And my advice to anyone that is going through that is remain who you are. Because you're not trying to fit in. Stand strong on who you are as a person. That's what I did. And I got used to it. And I stayed. And I had to fight through it. And I'm glad that my parents made me fight through it. And were like, no, you're gonna stay. And you're gonna get used to it. And I did. And it grew on me. Certain things grew on me. But I was also finding out who I am. And I feel like that's the biggest part about college. If you don't learn anything, you're going to learn who you are as a person, your nose and, you know, your yeses and your nos on what you like and what you don't like, because you have to make decisions on your own now. Your parents are no longer there for you. And when you're in hot water or something's going on, you have to think on your own.
That's facts. And I love that you said that because, you know, college is definitely a time for you to explore and, like you say, really figure out who you are as a person before getting into that, you know, the real world, like we call it. So you transitioned through Kentucky State and everything. So what was that post-graduation life like for you?
Oh, my gosh. I was like, what am I going to do next? I've graduated. Like, what am I going to do? Because pre-graduation, everybody's hype. Oh my gosh, it's graduation time. What are we doing? About to turn up. Oh, I'm moving. I'm going to Atlanta. I'm moving to Cleveland. I'm moving to California. And then it gets real. And you're like, I'm going to stay here. It's cheaper. I don't want to go home. And, you know, that's what it was. Post-graduation, I stayed in Frankfurt. I moved to Louisville. Which is like an hour, 45 minutes outside the city of Frankfurt. And I still worked. I worked at a hospital because I thought that I was going to pursue public administration and go into healthcare administration. So I worked at a hospital, at a doctor's office in Frankfurt. And I was there and I was like, yeah, I'm going to either go into nursing or I'm just going to do healthcare administration. That wasn't the plan. So then I started to explore more and I started to, you know, network with people. Because after you graduate college, you network a lot. So that was another thing of finding yourself. Now that chapter's closed, what's next? Like, this is when your career comes in place. A lot of people think, and it can happen, but I tell people it can happen, but don't count on it. You land your dream job and you get this salary. Like, some people are like, yeah, I graduated. I'm about to get my dream job. I'm about to get salary. It's not that easy. But post-graduation, I was like, all right, I got to figure this out. Like, I have a degree, but what's next? So that's how it was for me post-graduation.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's so true. Like, it can be scary. That's why sometimes, you know, a lot of people, it's like, you're so excited. It's like we rush through. Oh, we can't wait till we graduate. We can't wait to leave. And like you say, when graduation day comes and it's like, okay, now what? Like, I've spent 4 years or, you know, plus at this one place. Now I got to go out and pretty much be an adult. So it can be scary. So you transitioned and you figured that out. And so you went on to become a beauty queen and you're an adoption advocate as well. So let's get into that. Let's start with the beauty queen aspect of that and how that happened for you.
So the beauty queen happened in college, my sophomore year.
Okay.
Yeah. I was, my K-Red sister, Bridget, was, Miss Kappa Kappa Psi, 08. So I was like, oh, I'm going to do the pageant. And I became Miss Kappa Kappa Psi 09, because I came to K-State in 08, graduated 12. And then I held the title. We didn't have another pageant for another year, so I held the title for 2 years. And then my good friend of mine, Erica from K-State, was Miss Black Kentucky USA 2011. So I was like, you know what? I want to do it. I was Miss Kappa Kappa Psi. So I did it and I became Miss Black Kentucky USA 2012 after that pageant. And that was an experience, because it's just like with pageantry. I tell people all the time, new doors open, you're going to find yourself. When new opportunities present itself, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, like, let me do this. And you're going to realize so much stuff about yourself and how things work and what's the business aspect of things. And it was an awesome opportunity. And then after that, once I became Miss Black Kentucky USA 2012, Karen Arrington, who was the CEO of Miss Black USA, was like, all right, you need a platform. And I was like, all right, let's just do breast cancer. She was like, no. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And she was like, you know, I don't want girls to just use a platform because of the popularity of it or the fact that it has so many gigs and so many things around it. No, start your own platform or build awareness to what you feel like you want to build awareness to. And she was like, my best advice is to do something that you can relate to. So when you're at these speaking engagements, you have appearances, you can speak to a crowd off of your experience and facts. So I was like, okay, you know what? You're right. So my mom was like, why don't you just do adoption and foster care since you're adopted? And I was like, no, mom, I'm not doing that. You're crazy. And she was like, no, I really think you should do it. So I was like, okay, fine. So I ended up doing adoption and foster care. And I kid you not, I was in the newspaper, a press release hit, Shelby Patrice, K-State, Miss Black Kentucky USA 2012, platform of adoption and foster care. So the press release happened. From there, my emails blew up out of control. Oh my gosh, I was adopted. Can you come speak here for this? Can you do this? And I was just like, is this how it works? But it's the fact that I'm talking about something that was dear to my heart. And right. That's what I feel like people have to understand. And that's where the platform came from. Go from experience and something that you can relate to. And ever since then, the adoption platform has just taken off. And it's opened up so many doors and different avenues towards things. And I had an opportunity to work with Warner Brothers for their movie Storx. I was an ambassador for Adoption is Beautiful. I was headliner for Wendy's, Dave Foster's adoption campaign, headliner for Ancestry DNA. So many doors have opened, and I wish it was an awesome opportunity.
I love it. So it started, what started in college has now pretty much continued on throughout. And now you're still pretty much standing on that platform today. I love it.
I always say Miami raised me, but Kentucky made me. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I was born and raised in Miami. You're born, you know, where you're born there and you're raised. When you're being raised, you're being told what to do. You're being told right from wrong. You're being told, you know, don't do this, do that. Or, hey, or you're getting advice. Your parents are like, don't do that. You know, this is what you should be doing. And they're leading you to the right path in the right direction. But I was made in Kentucky because I made those decisions by myself, and which was to be Miss Black Kentucky, to do Miss Kappa Kappa Psi, to continue to pursue the dance team. I was making those decisions. So all of that made me to the woman that I am today.
I love it. You know, that's the beauty of going to the HBCU experience. I mean, you learn so much. You make these great connections. You talked about networking. And like you said, like that really, it helps shape who you are. You know, really find out something that you're passionate about, a cause that, like you say, so many people can resonate with. So, and you know, you were involved so much in college. You were a dancer. You were the beauty queen. So how did you manage to balance all of that and, you know, just keep everything in perspective?
I don't know.
That's real. That's a real answer.
I don't. I'm going to be so, like, real honest with you. You know what? I'm going to tell you why I was able to balance it. I can give you a God honest truth because I'm grown now. I lived a fast life in Miami. Mm. And what I say by that is Miami is fast paced. It's Miami. Viewers on here will know. If you are not from there, I'm from there. People vacation there. That's two total different subjects. Being raised in Miami, is in the high school that I went to, I kid you not, the high school that I went to has produced a lot of successful, well-known people out of that high school. You have probably seen a lot of them on reality TV shows. A lot of them are backup dancers now. A lot of them are, like I said, TV shows, backup dancers, just doing very well, social media influencers, doing extremely well for themselves, including myself. And within that lifestyle of that high school, if you've seen the movie Clueless, that was our high school. That was our high school. You can leave campus for, we left for lunch. Somebody knew somebody that knew somebody. The clubs in Miami, you can get into the clubs. There was a club you can get into at 16. We house parties constantly. Somebody's parents was out of town. You going to Victor's mansion tonight? Girl, yeah, I'm going to go. You know what I'm saying? So that right there, all of that to senior year and living that fast life of party, 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 going to school like nothing happened, skipping school. And I skipped school before, go to South Beach and hang out. Been there, done it, right? So when I went to college, I was around people that never did that. Never been to a club before. Y'all about to, oh, for spring break, where y'all going? Y'all going to Miami? I'm going to stay here. I would stay on campus because I was used to, I grew up out there. I didn't want to go. So for me, juggling it was nothing. I didn't mind staying in Friday, Saturday, and Sunday doing homework and being the designated driver if they need me to come get them from Bell Gym or whatever it was, because homegirl right here already did it. And if you really want to keep it 100, in Kentucky, they closed, the parties shut down at 2. In Miami, we just now getting ready to go to the club, baby, at 2 o'clock. So I was like, no. So it was, for me, it was so easy to balance because I did it. Now, junior year and senior year, when things started getting serious, like, okay, graduation's around the corner, that's when I had to discover time management. And I had to say, all right, no more night classes because I had dance practice. Can't do this. I can't do this. And then I was like, okay, Shelby, and now I got to work. So I was like, what I'm going to do is, what if I just did all online classes? So junior and senior year, I had all online classes. And that's where time management came in. And I was in the library every Wednesday. And since I was in the library every Wednesday, I did that week's worth of work for my classes. I would get the syllabus out because you get your syllabus for the year and it tells you when things are due. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do all of this through this paper. Everything's done. And on Wednesdays, I would concentrate on all of my classes from 8 a.m. I was there to maybe midnight. And I did all the work that needed to be done, even Blackboard quizzes, whatever needed to be done. I did it on that Wednesday. So now I got Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday to be at home, chill, go shopping, go to Louisville on the road, do whatever, because I had to incorporate time management. And I feel like that's what's important for people because they don't get it. Because the higher you get, when, you know, freshman year, you're like, sophomore year, you're like, okay, what's going on? Junior year, like, okay, I get it. And senior year, you're like, solid. But the problem is when you move off campus, now you have more access to everything. So, because you got a car, people are telling you, oh, this is the hot spot. So now it's like, do I want to go to class or do I want to do this? But if you have time management, it's hard to manage, but it's important. So I had to make myself a schedule. And online classes worked best for me. I know one girl, she did all her classes Mondays and Tuesdays. I was like, girl, you went back to back like that? Yeah, but she had Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday to work and to get everything done. So it's all about time management.
I love it. And William McKinn said, wow, I never knew that. Okay. Was he in school with you then?
Yeah, that's my mother's. He graduated my mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, to you, William. But, you know, you said basically, you know, those first couple of years, everybody was the things that new college students were just experiencing. You had already lived that life, you said, back in Miami. So I was like, okay, this is like, it's like my normal. This is normal to me, you know. And so you said, like, around junior, senior years when you really had to say, okay, let me kind of, you know, get focused and organize this thing out. So,
yeah.
And, you know, I think that's kind of pretty much how it works. Because I'm even for me being in college, like you say, the freshman year, you really don't have much going on. That's like your year to explore, figure out, you know, meet new people, hang out. And then once you kind of progress through the years, that's when things really, you know, you kind of have to buckle down a lot. So, yeah. So we transitioned through college and then you graduate. So I want to get into now, let's get into Budget University. Let's talk about that and how you're really helping people with generational wealth and finances and all of that. So tell us what all that's about.
So Budget University happened because I got furloughed from my job as a flight attendant. And I bought a house. So much happened last year, especially March of last year. I got furloughed from my job in October, bought a car in January, bought a house in March. So January bought a car, March bought a house, which you shouldn't do. You should opposite, but we'll talk about that. And then October, I got furloughed, right? So I was like, oh my goodness. So everybody, when I bought my house, was like, how did you buy your house? Oh my God, help me. Help me with my credit. Help me buy a house. Help me save money. I'm known as the flight attendant that sits on the jump seat. And I have this in my bag and it's my planner. And they're like, what are you doing, Shelby? And I'm like, I'm doing my budget. And they're like, girl, isn't your budget the same? I'm like, no. Like, if I want to buy this, I have to incorporate. I have two birthday dinners this month, so I got to incorporate it in my budget. So people are looking at me like I'm crazy because I have my budget sheet and my thing. So when I bought my house, everybody was like, how did you do it? I'm like, I budget. Remember when you were making fun of me on the jump seat? They were like, oh my gosh, do my budget. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and make this a little side hustle. So I created a group on Facebook called Budget University, and I started bringing people in there, like 20 of my girlfriends. They bought more people. So it ended up to be 520 something people in that group. And I'm like, okay, I'm about to make this a business, LLC it, trademark it. We're about to get this party started. So then I started doing people's budgets for like $25. And then I got more clientele. And then people were asking me stuff about credit. So I said, I know because I fixed my own credit, but let me just get this certification so nobody, you know how people are. Mm-hmm. So I did all that, and everybody was asking me questions, because once you create a budget, you're creating a budget for something, whether it's buying a house, buying a car, buying a new pair of shoes, buying a purse. If you want it, you got to say, oh, do I have enough money? That's budgeting. Mm-hmm. If you're asking yourself, do I have enough for this? That's budgeting, right? So I was like, I'm going to create a tool. So I created the tool of a website, Budget University Online, where you're able to cover basic banking and 401k, basic banking, 401k, investing, real estate, and so many other stuff. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do this, because if I do this, then what's going to happen is that people are able to come here for a subscription price, and they could just have everything just all out for them. So I felt like that was very important. And I was like, this is what's going to help people with generational wealth and financial literacy. So the key reason why I stress generational wealth, and this is another part of Budget University, was because my grandmother died. And when my grandmother passed away, she left me, you know, she left my brother, my sister, and I a trust fund. And we were just like, oh my gosh, like, you know, had no idea. I was 28 had no idea she left this amount of money for us. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And then when I buried her, I found out that she had a pre-need, which is she had everything taken care of for her funeral. Everything was already paid for, but she gave her plot to her brother's wife when her brother's wife passed. So we had to go get her another plot, which wasn't a problem. And what stuck to me and kind of hurt me, but I knew she wasn't doing it in malicious intent, was the lady that was organizing our funeral for the plot made a comment and said, I've never seen an African-American family so organized.
Oh.
And I was like, what? I said, what? But the way she said it was she was being serious. And when she said that, I said, what? But then I was like, Shelby, she's not being mean. The door was open in her office, like you and I are conversating right now. Mm-hmm. And another family, African-American family, went in, and the African-American family said, we have to extend the date for the funeral because we're waiting for the GoFundMe.
Wow.
And that hit me. And she looked at me and she said, she was like, you know, that's what I mean. You know, we're either waiting. And she was real nice. We're either waiting for GoFundMe money or waiting for the church or waiting for a donation or waiting for, you know, federal government planning. And I was just like, this has got to stop.
Yeah, seriously.
And that's when I said, that's when I stressed generational wealth. And a lot of people like, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, life insurance. Yes, life insurance is major. That's another part about how we were able to receive funds too. But I tell people all the time, like, it's just important because we can't be that group. And when I go on Facebook now and I go on social media, I don't know if you see it, but I see it a lot. People are like, hey, so-and-so passed away. Can you donate to their GoFundMe? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I get it. But for my generation of people, my group, my age group, we're out here buying all this crap, right? And it's like, it's that like, if you buy Chick-fil-A every morning for breakfast on your way to work, right? That's a life insurance policy that you could have, you know, for a month. And you're absolutely right. The lack of generational wealth has been a ban of the African-American community. And I feel like it's just, it's not taught in the school system. It's not taught where it needs to be taught. And, you know, it's crazy. That's why Budget University, that's why I give so much knowledge and I make sure that people have it. And a lot of people in Budget are like, Shelby, like, I didn't realize this until my grandmother died. And they'll tell me my grandmother passed away and now my mom doesn't talk to her own sister anymore because they're fighting over money. See what I'm saying?
I was going to, you know, like that's the thing. And I think a lot of families like money, like when a loved one dies, it's like, like money is the thing. And not even just that, but of course money in other situations. But when it comes to those funerals and deaths, like money is the thing, like you say, like people, they fighting and stop talking to each other over that. And so I want to ask you, like, what are some tips that you can give? Like maybe a few of your best budgeting tips that you can give, because, and even going back to what you said about Chick-fil-A, right? You said, if you eat Chick-fil-A every day, that can be a life insurance policy. And honestly, a lot of people, you know, when you spend, it's like $5 here. Okay. Then it's like another $5. You don't realize like how quickly that money adds up. And like you say, it's almost like an afterthought because it's small amounts at the time. But when you look over like the past 30 days and when you see how much money you've spent, like it's a lot. So what are some tips of advice that you have?
I tell everybody to just face the reality and face the fact. And this is what I tell people do. Grab your bank statements, right? This is not a bank statement. This is a piece of paper. Grab your bank statements and grab some highlighters in different colors, right? So you see yellow, orange, and blue. You're going to grab your bank statements and you're going to color code everything. And what you do when you color code it is I'm going to put blues for shopping, like just shopping. Orange is going to be for food. Yellow's for gas, right? So I'm going to go in my bank statements and I'm for 3 months and I'm going to highlight that. I'm going to highlight whatever. And I'm going to calculate the blue, calculate the orange, calculate the yellow. Am I really spending this much on Amazon Prime? Am I really spending this much on food? That's how much gas I put in my car. It's because if you see it, that's when you're like, all right, no, this got to stop. Like, I could have been paid off this credit card. I could have been did X, Y, and Z. I could have really, that you can look at it and be like, that was that trip to Cancun. I'm over here struggling, trying to get some pennies together to go to Cancun. And I done spent it going out to eat with my girls all the time. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, it's important. For me, I have friends that have birthdays. We before their birthday, at least a month in advance, hey, I'm doing a birthday at this restaurant. When is it? The 29th. Look at the menu, pull up the menu. Do I like this place? What's the budget? Okay, I'm probably gonna end up spending $30, $40. Let me go ahead and put that aside. Or you know what? I can't go because I have to do X, Y, and Z. So you have to just incorporate things in your budget. Now, hourly is different from salary. Because hourly, you can play with it, get overtime. I got sent home early, however that works. Salary, that's what you get every 2 weeks. So that's how I tell people.
You know what? And I actually need to do that myself, like with the markers and taking that. Because, like you say,
you're going to have a heart attack because you're going to be like, what? I'm telling you, it works. Do it.
It's because it's like that thing when you actually see it versus when the money's just leaving your account. And it's like an afterthought. It's like, okay, like we were saying with the food, $2 here, $5 here, coffee here. But actually seeing it, yeah, I'm actually that's a good one. I like that. I'm actually going to do that one myself. But and so even with the planner, and I want to get into how can people, because I know you say you start off doing people's budgets for them. So is that a service that you still offer, or what can people get from Budget University now?
From Budget University, there's so much. Like we talked about pageantry, I do now offer pageant consulting because a lot of girls want to get into pageants, do it. So I do pageanting on a budget consulting, and I teach girls how to win their budget, how to win their pageant on a budget. You know, you don't have to buy all these expensive shoes. I do consulting services with them on how we're going to do things on a budget for your pageants. Second, I do one-on-one budgeting where I tell people, bring your pay stubs, bring your W-2s, bring all your bills, and I'm about to create your budget. But first, we're gonna have to get down to the nitty-gritty on what needs to stop and what you can continue doing. And a lot of people don't like it, but the first thing I take out is Netflix, Hulu, and Stars. Pick one, because you don't need all that. Pick one. So, you know, it's all of that. We go and we break down. Some people are ready. Some people are like, okay, I'm going to start in January. All right, cool. If you want to start in January, cool. So we go over that. We also talk about your bills. A lot of people aren't organized with their bills. Oh, I got to pay these on this date, these on this day. Well, that's why you're struggling, because you need to call them and say, hey, you can always call and be like, I want all of my bills. Like for me, all of my bills are due on the 15th of the month. Every single last bill. Mm-hmm. I have organized my bills to be that day. That way I don't forget. And that way I know. On top of the fact that on my phone, I have my, it says my budget, and I do all of my budget stuff. And I put for the whole year. That's for the whole year. Nothing changes. And you know, it's important. And you have your goals and you set your goals. And then get with a group of friends, or some people just trust me, I hold you accountable. You know what I'm saying? And I'm there for you. And I email you monthly. How's it going? What'd you do? Oh my God. Some people tell me, Shelby, I stayed home this whole month because I was like, my budget, I ended up with $200 more in my check-in. I said, well, look at that.
Wow.
So you never know.
I like that. And you know, too, like you say, you hold them accountable. And that's something that we all need, a good accountability partner to say, hey, you know, you didn't.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You ate out too many times this month. You didn't took too many trips. So yeah. And so for people who you listen to this and you say, hey, I need help with my budget. What's the website and where can they connect with you?
Yeah, you can go to www.budgetuniversityonline.com. Like this logo right here will pop up. You'll see that. And Budget University Online, we have Facebook groups, a private Facebook group. Jump on in there. So many people are in there helping each other out. And it's a good time. So Budget University Online. And just go. And if you have any questions, email me. My email's in there. And I am there to help everybody. And another thing that we launched with Budget University is a student loan calculator, which I'm super excited about because a lot of students are going to college like, I don't know how much it is. So it gives you a chance to compare and contrast all of the tuition that's going on for Budget University, which I think is awesome. So you're able to compare and contrast all the HBCUs are in there, their tuition. Like I saw you had a Tennessee shirt on. So if you want to be like Tennessee State, K-State, who costs more? Where am I saving money at? It's all there. I love it. So yeah, it's exciting.
I like that you say you just launched this, or you're launching it.
It's already launched. It's there. We're ready. Come on over.
I love that. I love that. So, and everything is Budget University, right? They can get all this.
University Online.
I like it. And so I put this here is the social media Budget University.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they can click the link.
Facebook, Instagram, follow us.
Okay. Everything is Budget University. This is good. You know, you've definitely taught me a few things since we've been on here. So as we get ready to wrap this up, what are some final words first let me ask you, what are some other things that you have coming up that you want us to know about?
I definitely just got inducted into the 40 Under 40 for Kentucky State University. So I'm super excited about that. That's such an honor and privilege. I'm very, 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 very excited about that. I have also, I'm just working on so many projects right now. It's going to come out soon. I promise we'll announce it. But right now, we're just focused on the 40 under 40 that's going to take place in Frankfort, Kentucky. So,
yes, I love it. And let's see, Rice Fame. He said the most organized that I have ever been was when my company brought planners for all the managers. They also gave us a class on using them. I was able to see my free time.
Yes, right.
And, you know, like, I even have a planner myself, and I'm trying to, you know, some days I skip, but I'm trying to use it more to actually, like, write out certain things and plan it out. But those planners definitely do work. So last thing before we get ready to leave, leave us with some words of advice that you would give to aspiring HBCU students in general, and then your fellow Kentucky State University students that are in now.
You know, advice in general is be who you are, accept who you are, and change for the better, but don't change for anyone else. For my Kentucky State University colleagues is study and think on the mission statement for K-State and think about it and then write it down. Keep the paper that you write it in or write it in your phone. And then when you graduate, revisit what you wrote. And then you will understand the true definition, the true definition of onward and upward. So that's what I have to say.
I love it. William says, Shelby, you are good. People have no clue or idea.
Thank you guys so much, William and Lacey. I love you guys. Thank you.
Yes, yeah, definitely big shout out to Lacey. He's definitely a huge help to us here, Historically Black Sense, and actually even setting us up with you for this interview. So definitely a huge shout out to him, a Kentucky State University alum. He said, can you hype the K-Reds and MMT?
Yes, go K Reds and go K, go Thoroughbreds, of course. MMT, the band. Love it. That's where I was.
All right. Well, no, this has been good. So, once again, if you all want to, we'll put everything in the links as well, but definitely follow Budget University on all social media platforms. You can click the link in her bio, and she has everything set up. You can get your budgeting going on. And that calculator as well, all of that. And congratulations on everything that you've accomplished. And definitely looking forward to hear more from you soon.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Yes.
I appreciate it.